Oh, we need the Lord every second of the day. You all have had this experience where you're driving down the road and you look down at your dashboard to adjust air conditioner or something, and you look up and you're going off the road. We really do need the Lord every second of the day to protect us. We need Him all the time. Well, carrying on from what my brother has said, when the Ark of the Covenant was in the house of Obed-Edom, it was blessed with the presence of the Lord and also those Ten Commandments. And this is my message this morning, is on the Ten Commandments, because in a very real sense, this is the perfect law of liberty. And you'll find when you visit prisons that everyone who is there in bondage is there because they have violated the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet, and so forth. And actually, the keeping of God's Ten Commandments brings freedom. God's laws bring freedom. Man's bring bondage. And so I want to, because there's a teaching in the church world today that we're not under the law, we're under grace, but that is simply speaking of the old covenant ordinances. But the Ten Commandments are for all ages. Jesus upheld the Ten Commandments. And not only for the law, but for the church age, and going right on into the millennium, they are what is called the everlasting covenant. So I'd like to look at these. Also, if we could start maybe with Isaiah 24. The reason why this generation is going to become so vile and so evil is because of casting God's laws behind their back. In Isaiah 24, verse 5, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, the curse has devoured the earth. And at the time of Armageddon, there are not too many people left. Well, we want to talk about the importance of the Ten Commandments because they are upheld by our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us turn to Matthew 19. And we'll start at verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, it's interesting that eternal life is connected with keeping the commandments of God. Now, of course, new birth must precede this. But then the laws, the Ten Commandments of God must be honored. And he said unto him, Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. And of course, he was God in the flesh. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. So keeping the commandments is directly connected to eternal life. And he said, Which? And Jesus said, You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, love thy neighbor as thyself. And so these commandments, the Ten Commandments, are upheld by our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's directly connected to what must I do to have eternal life. This truly is the law of liberty. This is repeated in Mark 10. When God has something important to say, he repeats it. In Mark 10, and verse 17, when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled down to him and asked, Good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? And And here again, verse 19, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. And this is upheld by the Apostle Paul. Let's turn to Romans 13. Remember, everyone who breaks these commandments comes into bondage. The laws of God are not bondage like Satan says. All right, Romans chapter 13. In verse 8, do not owe any man anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. And here is how. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love works no ill toward his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And according to James, this is the royal law, and it is the perfect law of liberty. When we keep God's Ten Commandments, it brings freedom. Breaking of them brings bondage, and they are for all generations. This is the everlasting covenant. So I'd like to go through these. Now, this was given, first of all, in Exodus chapter 20, 50 days after they came out of Egypt. They came to the foot of Mount Sinai, and Moses went up into the mountain. And here he was given the Ten Commandments. Now, 40 years later, in Deuteronomy, he repeats these same Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5 to the new generation, because every generation must have these repeated and instilled into them, or very quickly the generation becomes degenerate. All right, Exodus chapter 20. I like what my brother says. In the New Covenant, well, in the Old Covenant, God said, don't do it. When Christ came to bring these laws into our heart, he said, don't even think it. And so sin must be aborted. When sin is conceived in our thoughts, it must be aborted, that it will not grow and grow until finally it is birthed into an action. We must abort sin in our thoughts and not continually feed them. In Exodus chapter 20, and I love this, Jesus came to bring these laws into our heart and mind, not only on tables of stone. And so, in Exodus 20, verse 1, here is the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, that means God is saying, I must be number one. Oh, if God is number one, we won't have too many problems. But the problem is we have divided hearts, and people have all kinds of other affections that are more important than God. The first commandment of all is to make God number one. And if we will do this, all the other things will fall into place. He said, to reiterate this in Exodus 34:14, you shall worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. What a title for God, that he would call his name jealous. In other words, it's a demand to be number one. And anything that we love more than God, ultimately we will be disillusioned and empty and void with that thing, that idol. Number two, In verse 4, you shall not make unto thee any graven image or likeness of anything, and so forth. Pastor Bailey related an incident one time when, I don't know where he was, but he was suddenly taken into what is anciently called Ceylon, now Sri Lanka. And he was taken there in the spirit, and he was standing there, and there was a huge idol there. And all these people were bowing. And then God opened his eyes, and he saw a huge demon behind this idol, and with all these arms and hands coming out of it, forcing the people down. And he said the Lord made him to know that when the Antichrist is here and his image is here, that same demonic power will force people down. And then he cried out to God, and it was the grace of God that kept him from being under that power. But behind demons and idols are witchcraft and evil spirits and demon powers. And that is why God commands, you shall not make unto thee any graven image. Command number 3, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. We must be careful how we use his precious name. You know, I've heard even Christians say, oh God this and oh God that. And we need to be careful how we talk about his precious name. Amen. We must be careful at the use of his name. And number 4, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, I realize that the Sabbath day was on Saturday, the seventh day, when Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week. The church moved observing this day on the first day of the week. And I do think we should honor that. And however, that's a day when pastors have to work the hardest. So we're the biggest transgressors. No, but that's not really the situation. But in Hebrews 4, Paul gives us a deeper spiritual meaning of the Sabbath day. And that is, it is a life of entering into rest and ceasing from our own thinking, our own ways and striving and allowing God to do the work through us and in us. So we need to go through our journey, through coming out of Egypt with the blood of the Lamb, through the Red Sea, getting the fill with the Spirit at Sinai, passing our tests, crossing Jordan, driving out the enemies, and finally coming to Mount Zion. This is my rest forever. And so that means there's a lot of battles to win, a lot of processes we have to go through to come into rest. We need to allow God to deal with our natural mind. Circumcision deals with, as Paul said in Philippians 3:3, we are the circumcision and we have no confidence in our flesh, in our natural mind. There's a lot of work that needs to go on. But we need to come into rest. It's not only observing a day, but it's a whole life. It's a whole attitude of coming into rest where we've relinquished our own agendas and our own motives and our own thinking, and we've come into rest and we allow God to do the work through us and in us. And our strivings cease. So we want to come into rest. You know, the scribes and Pharisees made the Sabbath day a burden. If you travel more than a half a mile during the day, you're in trouble. Even in present-day Jerusalem, you're not allowed to push a button to go on an elevator on the Sabbath day. This is for devout Jews. It's calling man's ingenuity and his works. Well, it seems to me that climbing 10 flights of stairs is harder work than pushing a button. But this is what the Lord of the Sabbath said to them. The Sabbath was made for man. It's to be a blessing, not man for the Sabbath. We're not to be a slave to all these things. And all these things, ordinances that the Pharisees put upon God's people, that Peter later said were a yoke of bondage. Listen, we are to keep the commandments of the Lord, but not all the hundreds of Levitical things and things that the Pharisees had put on them. So he said they were a yoke of bondage which neither we nor our fathers were able to bear. But the Ten Commandments are forever. And the house of Obed-Edom, as long as that ark was in that house with those Ten Commandments and the presence of God, that house was blessed. Let me repeat this. God's commandments, his Ten Commandments, bring freedom. And the breaking of them brings bondage. There's a false teaching today that we're not under the law, we're under grace, and therefore we're free to live the way we want. Oh, what a terrible thing. Number 5, honor your father and your mother. And as Paul said in Ephesians 6, it's the first commandment with a promise that your days may be long and that it may be well with you on the earth. Honor thy father and thy mother. I still remember this 60-some-year-old man being very harsh with his 80-some-year-old mother. Now, do you see that this commandment is not just for teenagers? This was to grandpa, who wasn't good to great grandma. This law is for all ages, that even if we have parents that aren't saved, we still need to be courteous and kind, even if we don't agree with them. Isn't that true? Amen. Pastor Bailey shared this, that what he said when he was about to go into the ministry, his greatest opponent was his own father. He had to choose, if any man love father or mother, son or daughter more than me. So he chose to go God's way, and later his father was rectified to that and said, you made the right choice, but always with a good attitude. Even if we have parents that aren't saved, we still are very kind and respectful to them without attitudes. Thou shalt not kill. This is Exodus 20, verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. When we read Matthew 5, 21 and 22, Jesus brings us to this commandment and said, in the law it was said, you shall not kill. But I say unto you, if you have hatred in your heart. Now, this is what causes eventually someone to kill. It's bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred. And in the new covenant, Jesus is dealing with the roots of murder, unforgiveness, hatred, bitterness. And the new covenant has come to come into us to deal with the roots of these things. Amen. So he's bringing the law into the heart, into the deeper implications. Why are people in bondage? Why are they in prison? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet. Commit adultery and all these other things. This is the reason man is in bondage. But God is calling to make his law honorable in these days and to bring respect again to the laws of God. God's laws bring freedom, not bondage. Satan says they are bondage. That's because he wants to control. You know, we can kill people with words, too. We can kill people by neglect. We want to be careful not to injure. You should not commit adultery. And again, this is brought out in Matthew. In Matthew 5, verse 27 and 28. And again, he is bringing out with, it begins with thoughts. In the Old Testament, it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that he that looks lustfully upon another has committed adultery. And so God is dealing with thoughts. He is getting where it is conceived. And God wants us to abort evil when thoughts come. When, you know, we cannot always help thoughts that come to our mind. But that is where we must stop it and not feed it. And so Jesus is dealing with that. And may I quickly turn to Job 31. And verse 1, where Job said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? You know, what you look at, you think about. And when people sit before a computer and look at porno, they are opening the door for Satan to get into them and overpower them and take control. And we must, by an act of our will, shut the door. Turn off those kind of things. Because this is what causes sin, is when we are opening the door and feeding it and looking at it and desiring it, and it grows and grows until it becomes an act. And so we want to be like Job, one of the three most righteous men of the New Testament, Old Testament, who said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. I'm not going to gaze upon things that I shouldn't be looking at. I made a covenant with my eyes. Oh, this is a man who is staying out of bondage. But if we don't, we are going to be in bondage. This is an adulterous generation. And we are not to go the course of this world. You know, Satan is poisoning the young generation through the electronic world, and we have to plead with them to stay away from these things. Jesus even brings this law higher when he said to put away your wife and marry someone else. It brings a spirit of adultery. And so he was getting to the root of the problem, saying it's all because of hardness of heart. Do you know that hatred and hardness of heart is outlawed in the new covenant? We are not allowed to hate and to hold grudge and bitterness in our lives. This is what leads to divorce. And then marrying someone else brings a violated vow and other struggles with the flesh. Now, sometimes people come into the church who've already had failures, and we love and accept them. You remember the woman at the well who was married 5 times, and when she found Jesus finally, and she found the real answer for her soul, we find her bringing a whole village to Jesus. Listen, no matter what our background, we can still be fruitful in one way or another. Amen. Okay, you shall not steal. This is Exodus 20, verse 15. You shall not steal. Oh, this is a major problem we find in the last days. In Revelation, they repented not of their thefts and fornication. It's a major, major problem of our time, stealing. There's many forms of stealing. But I've noticed that anyone who is a thief is also a liar. And they will deceive, and it brings many other evils into the heart, and it totally corrupts a person. We are told in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10, that thieves cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. It corrupts the whole soul. It's not one sin, it's many sins. Anyone who is a thief is also a liar, a deceiver, a conniver, and many other things. It destroys the soul. We must warn people that we cannot be a thief. There was a lady who was seen in hell, and someone asked, why are you here? Didn't anyone ever witness to you about Jesus? And she said, yes, 15 years before I died, I became a Christian, and I walked with him for a while, but then I went back to my shoplifting and so forth, and that's why she's in hell today. Did you take that? Oh, no. Were you there at that time? No. Other stories, lies, deceit. I tell you that being a thief brings many evils into the heart. We are to preach this to our congregations. Amen. Number 9, you shall not bear false witness. At the trial of Jesus, they paid several men to come there and lie about Jesus. Do you know being a false witness can destroy a person, can destroy their reputation? It could even mean life or death. So we see this even in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, the terribleness of false witnesses and gossip. We must be very careful of our mouths because things get exaggerated and can ruin a whole body of people. And then number 10, you shall not covet. And Deuteronomy uses the word desire. Covetousness. You shall not desire your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's house or car or business or whatever it is. We need to deal with this. Covetousness is idolatry according to Colossians 3:5. There is not to be this awful lust for something that someone else has. Friends, these 10 commandments are for today. They are for the millennium. Amen. They are an everlasting covenant. They are the royal law. They are the law, the perfect law of liberty. These 10 commandments keep us free. The breaking of them brings bondage. Just another verse or two from Colossians chapter 2. It is true we are not under the Old Testament Levitical laws, but there are certain laws that we do keep. And I tell you that these 10 commandments given on Mount Sinai are for every age, upheld by Christ, by Paul. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that was contrary to us, he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And he's talking about all the Old Testament rituals. Verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in food or in drink or in respect of a holy day or a new moon or Sabbaths. And all of these Old Testament rituals, which have a spiritual meaning for us, but we are not under that law, but we are under grace. But we are also to be free, kept free, by honoring the 10 commandments. Amen. All right, I think that's all that I have on my heart for this morning. Abundant blessings to you. Have a great day.